A connection between the impeachment process and the trade process. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news that businesses cut their investments much more than expected in the spring to summer quarter. New government data today showed business investment dropping a full percentage point. This is in the context of the uncertainties of the trade war. Beijing said today that it's in close touch with Washington on trade and was preparing to make progress in negotiations set for next month. Yet, with the impeachment inquiry, lots of policy appears more uncertain, including trade policy. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Things were murky about which way the trade war was going in the spring, in the summer, but now with this impeachment inquiry, because that is connected to trade policy as well, it's murkier.
Exactly. And this is what we're most concerned about is we don't know exactly how this is going to cut. The USMCA now looks like it's going to be delayed well into 2020, if not 2021. That's the trade agreement in North America meant to replace NAFTA. So that's uncertainty there. And then there's the escalation of the trade war with China. Will these proceedings prompt the president to de-escalate, which has been happening in recent weeks, or will it force a further escalation in the trade war with China? That's something we don't know. And those policy shifts will have a big impact on where we go going forward, because this is the biggest weight on the economy, the snowballing effect of the trade war on the global economy and how it washes up on our shores.
Hey, by the way, Diane, did you see the president today, the president of the United States today, tweeted that if he's impeached, the stock market's going to crash?
Well, all I can say is it's a lot of hubris in terms of impeachment. The real issue is watch the policy ball. That's what's going to determine where the stock market goes and where the economy goes from here on out.
Diane Swonk is the chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The mini census is out. Covers 2018 based not on asking the whole country, but by surveying a sample of about 250,000 American households. It shows the gap between rich and poor got worse from the year before. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
First, the good news. Median household income increased 0.8% between 2017 and 2018 to nearly $62,000. That's not surprising, says Christine Percheski, a sociologist and demographer at Northwestern University.
Because we see relatively low unemployment rates in many places.
But the gains haven't been distributed evenly. The Gini index, which measures income inequality, increased after more or less holding steady for 5 years. The 20% of U.S. homes with the lowest incomes brought in just over 3% of the total, while the top 20% brought in more than half. Inequality increased in 9 states, including California. Beth Jaros, a demographer with the nonprofit Population Reference Bureau, says that's thanks to the boom in Silicon Valley.
Compared with the really extraordinarily high poverty rates in a county like Imperial County, where the economy is predominantly agricultural.
She says that contrast may be behind increasing inequality in other states as well. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of 6 pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your Pencil Pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. Among the new United Nations reports this week, with the General Assembly going on here in New York, is one assessing what climate change is doing to oceans and ocean levels. And one remedy for climate change has a lot to do with whales. Their role in a system that keeps greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere has led to a new assessment of just how much a nice whale is worth. Rhoda Metcalf reports.
His belly, look at the white!
Wow!
People love whales. Whale watching videos like this one are all over the internet. And now there's evidence whales may be helping us stave off climate change. It all starts with a tiny sea plant called phytoplankton. They grow in huge blooms on top of the ocean. Michael Fishback, head of the environmental group The Great Whale Conservancy, says phytoplankton produce more oxygen than anything else on Earth.
Roughly 50 to 55% of the oxygen that we breathe. So every other breath that you take, we owe to phytoplankton in the ocean.
and they absorb 30 to 40% of the planet's carbon dioxide. That's crucial to keeping the planet cool. So where do the whales fit in? Well, it's all about their poop. A recent BBC Earth program went looking for it.
Oh, God, it's rancid. Don't think I've ever been quite so excited about poo in my entire life.
Scientists are excited too, because they've discovered whale poop may be helping phytoplankton grow. Joe Roman's studying this at the University of Vermont. He says whale poo's a perfect fertilizer, rich in nitrogen and iron.
All which are critical nutrients for the growth of phytoplankton.
Whales also help bring the nutrients at the bottom of the ocean up to the top as they dive down and up, chasing prey, says Roman, which may also help phytoplankton grow. And the more phytoplankton, the more carbon dioxide that's captured. Economist Ralph Chami learned about the whale's role in fighting climate change while he was vacationing on this blue whale research boat in the Gulf of California.
And that was actually a life-changing experience.
Chami's a senior economist with the International Monetary Fund in Washington, D.C., and he realized he could calculate a whale's worth, especially its role in reducing carbon, by using the carbon exchange market. Carbon has a price. When he crunched the numbers, Chami was floored.
The minimum value turns out $2 million per whale. I thought I surely made a mistake.
But there was no mistake. It means all the whales combined could be worth more than $1 trillion. Chami says these numbers could help put pressure on policymakers to figure out how to protect whales from things like ship strikes, because now we have some idea how much it costs us when we don't protect them. In Washington, D.C., I'm Rhoda Metcalf for Marketplace.
See the things you learn listening to public radio? I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.